The words of our text today were spoken by the Savior as part of a rebuke to the Jews who had challenged him on this occasion, accusing the Savior of not speaking plainly, of hiding the truth from them in relation to his identity and his mission upon the earth. They say in verse 24, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Obviously insinuating that the Savior in his ministry had not been forthright, had not been open, had not been plain. Implying that rather he was being elusive and not presenting them clearly and plainly with his identity and with the work that he had come to do. In order to show them that their ignorance of him and their ignorance of his mission had less to do with his teaching and more to do with their state of heart, he speaks the words of our text, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Verse 26, he says, "Ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep." It was absolutely nothing to do with the fact that somehow the Lord's teaching wasn't plain, or that he had preached in some obscure and cryptic fashion. That wasn't the reason why they didn't understand who he was and what he had come to do. It was simply because of the unbelief and the rebellion that filled their hearts. They did not belong to the Savior. That's why they didn't understand. We come across arguments like this today. The ungodly man will tell us, "Oh, the gospel's too hard to understand, and I'm not saved, and I'm not a Christian, because it's all too hard to take in. It's all such a great mystery." But that's not the reason at all. The reason, as the Savior points out here, is because they are not my sheep. The man who doesn't understand the gospel only is declaring, if he only but knew it, he is proclaiming, "I don't belong to the Lord." Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Essentially, he says the same thing, only using slightly different picture and different language. Speaking of his own ministry in the verse 1, he says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, and have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully." We don't go around, Paul says, speaking in a cryptic fashion or in a deceitful fashion in order to try and hide the truth from people. We don't use language that they can't understand in order to hide something from them. But look at what he says in verse 2. "But by manifestation of the truth." And the word manifestation comes from a word that means to shine light. We have shone the light of truth. We have held the truth up to them in the presentation of the gospel. This was his ministry. Not in craftiness, not in dishonesty, not deceitfully, but manifesting the truth. And so commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Paul says, I preach to manifest the truth, to shine the light. But there are some who don't understand. There are some who don't accept. It's hidden to them. It's a mystery. It's cryptic to them. Why is it? Is it because there's some fault in the truth itself? Or as the Jews suggested to the Savior, was it because there was some fault in his ministry? That he spoke in some deceitful or dishonest fashion and so kept them in doubt? No. If our gospel be hid, if it's a mystery, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The fact that there is a misunderstanding and a non-understanding of the gospel indicates that that individual is lost. They're blind. Or, as the Savior put it, you're not my sheep, not part of the flock of Christ. Now the Lord Jesus says in the words of our text, emphasizing the character and the nature of those who are truly his, calling them his sheep. He's presenting himself here as the good shepherd, giving his life, dying for his people. Those who are saved, those whom he has died for, they're his sheep. And he says of them, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He has emphasized this fact all the way through this particular discourse. Over and again he has referred to that hearing ability that the sheep have. Beginning in the verse 3, the sheep hear his voice. And down through the following verses there is this repeated emphasis upon the ability that the sheep of the Savior has. That's the first thing I want us to notice this afternoon. That the sheep of Christ, those who belong to him, have an ability to hear the voice of the Savior. They have an ability to hear the Lord speak to them. My sheep hear my voice. It's evident that this is an ability. This is a faculty. The faculty of hearing the voice of the Lord is a faculty exclusive to the sheep of Christ. It is his sheep and his sheep only who hear the voice of the Savior. Now it's obvious, I think, to you all that the Savior is using the word to hear in a very specialized sense here. He is referring firstly to the ability to recognize the sound of the Savior's voice. You keep the picture before you of the sheep and the shepherd that is being used by the Savior here as the basis, like a little parable, the basis of teaching this truth. It was the shepherd's practice to bring together a number of shepherds in the evening time, bring their flocks together to put them into a communal fold where the porter, one man, would have been assigned. He was able to keep all those assembled flocks of sheep so that the other individual shepherds could go home and get whatever rest or do something else. And no doubt they did that on a rotational basis, each man taking his turn to stay with the sheep through the night and to protect them. But then in the morning time, the shepherd would have come, and out of the midst of that assembled flock, made up of the little individual flocks, he would have called out his own sheep, and his own sheep would have separated to him and followed him for the day, then coming back together in the evening time. But there was the ability in the man's own sheep to recognize his voice. Obviously, the ability to hear is linked with discernment. There would have been any number of shepherds at any given time calling for their sheep. But the sheep that belonged to the specific shepherd had the ability to recognize his voice, to discern his voice from all the other calls, and to go to him. And just like that, the Savior says, my sheep hear my voice. There are others who call. There are others who claim to be authoritative, who would like to exercise influence over the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. Other religious leaders. We could think of other false prophets. We could think of impersonators of the Lord Jesus. But the sheep of Christ have the ability to recognize His voice and to discern. No, that's not the Savior, and that's not the Savior. Ah, here is His voice. They have the ability to dismiss from their minds other voices, other calls, other invitations, and other words that would direct them in a way that is contrary to their own nature and contrary to the will of God for their lives. There is that ability to recognize and to discern and to say, this is the voice of the Lord. The child of God has that ability. The true born child of God, we'll see in a moment why, has that ability to discern the voice of the Savior and to know at any given point and to evaluate any instruction and to say, that's the will of God. This is the voice of Christ. Or that's the voice of a false shepherd. That's an invitation, or that's a direction that I know to be wrong. There is that ability to recognize His voice. My sheep, hear my voice. Not only do they recognize the sound of His voice, but there is an ability to respond to it with welcome and delight. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. It's obvious, is it not, that what the shepherd says to those particular sheep means something to them. They know what he means. So it is with the Savior and His people. When He speaks, there is an ability to understand, to hear, to receive, to embrace, to welcome, and to delight in His Word. Obviously, it provokes a positive response in them. We have read through the verses. The sheep hear His voice. He calleth His own sheep by name. He leadeth them out. In our own text, they hear my voice, they follow me, just as they do in the natural realm, following the shepherd who calls them out from the fold. The words of the shepherd meant something to those sheep. The words of Christ mean something to His people. They mean something. It's not just garbled, unintelligible, meaningless words. The words of Christ clearly communicate something to His sheep. The child of God, and this is the point that we need to get. The child of God, when he hears the Savior speak through His Word, knows what he means. There is an ability to understand. Whereas for the natural man, these things are foolishness. The words of Christ to the ungodly man is just garbled nonsense. It's meaningless. You tell him the gospel and it means nothing. You tell him some of the important commands and precepts of God's Word and it means nothing. But a man who is truly a Christian, it will mean something. Very clearly it will mean something. Because if he has the Spirit of God within him, these things are spiritually discerned. They are understood in the Spirit, by the Spirit, because we have the Spirit of God within. There is clear communication involved here. My sheep hear my voice. They know what he says. God, in his Word, speaks loudly. This book is not called the Word of God for nothing. It is a speaking book. It is a book by which God speaks to men. To many, it is meaningless. To the people of God, there is a clear communication of God's will to them. It's like being in one of those great colonies of birds that we may well have seen on some documentary, where there is all kinds of racket and clamor, and yet each individual mother bird can communicate with the little one and indicate to that little one the purpose and the intention of its parents. It might be, watch out for danger, or it might be, come here, or it might be, it's supper time. Whatever it is, they can communicate precisely. Although to our ears, it's just a cacophony, it's just a racket, meaningless. Well, that's an illustration of how the Word of God falls on the ears of the ungodly. It's just a racket. And the preacher is one who is caricatured as someone who just rants and raves and talks garbage. But that's the worldly man's perspective on the words of Christ. For the sheep of Christ, it's a very different thing. Why is it that when the Word of God is preached, it means something to this person and means nothing to this person? Well, it's because one is a sheep of Christ and the other one isn't. There are many people who claim to be the Lord's, and they will tell you, oh yes, I'm a Christian. But the Word of God means nothing to them. Absolutely nothing. Don't understand it. Don't see how it applies to them. The only conclusion we can come to is they're not a sheep at all. Because my sheep hear my voice. Now this ability that we're thinking of, the ability to hear with intelligence and understanding, to hear the words of Christ, is the product of God's saving grace in the soul. We have seen already the natural man, by nature the sinner, doesn't hear, can't hear, will never hear. It's only foolishness. I was thinking of old Paul preaching there in Athens to those ungodly wise men. What did they say about him? What will this babbler say? The natural man has no ability to hear. What is it that produces that ability then? Why is it that the Christian can hear, does hear, can understand? And when he reads the Word of God, it means something. When he hears it preached, it means something. It's clear. Oh, he might wrestle with some of the harder portions, but nonetheless, he has an understanding of the Word of God. Why? Because of the grace of God in the soul, and for no other reason. Why is it that we should understand and someone else doesn't? Is it because I'm better? No. It's by the grace of God. God's saving grace makes a difference in the mind and the heart and the understanding of men. Specifically, it is regeneration that produces the ability to hear. What we call the new birth, that act of God, in a moment, God touches the soul of man, and he who once was dead now is alive. Let's think of that picture for a moment. The dead can't hear. You can preach and shout and talk as long as you like to a dead man, he'll never hear a thing. Just doesn't hear. We don't expect him to hear. Well, preaching to sinners is like preaching to the dead. They'll never hear. Never understand. They can't hear. I know at times we throw up our hands and say, why don't they listen? Why don't they understand? We forget. They're dead. But when God touches the soul of the sinner, and instantly there is born within them the life of God, and they were dead in sins, and now they're alive, regenerated and born again by the Spirit of God, what happens? The faculties of the soul live. Once they were dead and couldn't hear, now they're alive and they hear. They see. Those spiritual faculties of understanding and relating to the Word of God, it means something now. It comes because of the new birth. God quickening the faculties of the soul and implanting an ear in the soul to hear the voice of the Lord. The new birth quickens the senses of the soul and gives the Christian the ability to hear, to consciously hear the voice of the Lord. Look at the Psalm 135. The Psalm 135, and we're at the verse 15. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. The description of a statue. Made like a man, but it's an idol. Verse 18. They that make them are like unto them. Here is the sinner. Specifically, in this place, this is the idolater. The one who makes the idol is like the idol. He's dead. He has ears, but he doesn't hear. He has eyes, physically, but can't see. Spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, spiritually dead. This is the sinner. In Jeremiah chapter 5, the prophet Jeremiah lamented over this very same situation. Jeremiah 5 and the verse 21. Hear now this, O foolish people and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. And the prophet here makes the link between those with a rebellious heart. They have revolted. They have gone away from the Lord. They do not fear God. And these, he says, are those who have ears but hear not. It was a state of heart, you see, that is the problem. It is a state of heart that keeps men from hearing the voice of the Lord. And it is regeneration that changes that. It is regeneration that reinclines the heart of man toward the Lord. I think of the words of the Lord Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 13, where, speaking of his own ministry in parables, he says this, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their ear, hear with see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted and I should heal them. Now you see what the Lord Jesus says here. There are a number of links that come together here. He speaks in parables because the people, they have ears, but they don't hear. There's no ear for His word. There's no ear for His truth. The reason? Because of the state of their heart. And the only thing, by implication, that can change that state of heart is what He says in verse 15, conversion and the touch of God to heal them. It is conversion, specifically the act of regeneration that produces conversion, which is simply faith and repentance. It is the act of regeneration that opens the ear to hear. Without that, here are a people sitting under the personal ministry of Jesus Christ. It didn't mean a thing. Oh, they heard with this ear, but they didn't hear in the heart. The faculty of hearing in the soul was dead. Now we could understand, and at times we have to make allowances for the poor sinner as he listens to human preachers. And if they don't understand, sometimes, well, we have to make allowances for the lack of ability in the preacher. But there was no such lack here. This is the Son of God. The personal ministry of Jesus Christ, and they didn't hear because their heart was unconverted. When God touches the heart of a man, He opens his ear to hear the voice of God. I think of Stephen. You remember how he rebuked those Jewish leaders that presided over his trial, ultimately condemning him to death. He rebuked them, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart and ears. Circumcision in the scripture is an interesting type of regeneration. A new creature. A new nature. The circumcising of the heart and the ear goes together, you see. A work of grace done in the heart affects the ear. And that's why the sheep of God, the true sheep of Christ, hear His voice. Because God has done a work in their heart. He has changed them. If you know anything about hearing the voice of the Lord Jesus, this is why. Because He has given you a new heart. Implanted within you the ability to hear His word. Not because of we're smarter or more intelligent or anything else. It's because of His saving grace. But let's move on to notice something else. Not only do the sheep of Christ have the ability to hear, but you'll see that they exercise that ability. My sheep hear My voice. The ability to hear and to understand is one that is used. It is a faculty that is exercised by the sheep of Christ. They live in communication with Him. Is this not what the Savior is suggesting here? They live hearing My voice. It's not just an ability they have but is never used. It is an ability that is exercised. The people of God live listening for His voice. That's how one of Christ's sheep lives. You can quite easily picture the scene that the Lord Jesus is conjuring up here in His word picture of the sheep, whether in the fold initially or out grazing on the hillside. No matter what it's doing, there's one part of its brain and mind always focused on the sound of the shepherd's voice. No matter what is being done, there is an ear attentive to the voice of the Master. Remember Mary, where she stood at the open sepulchre of the Savior. The Lord had risen and gone, and to the great consternation and confusion of the disciples, the Savior was no longer in the tomb. In her sorrow and in her grief, she comes to the grave to weep. The Lord Jesus draws near, and she at first presumes him to be the gardener. But when he speaks her name, she knows him. Because in her soul, there is that attentiveness, listening for the voice of the Savior. And as soon as he speaks, she knows him. Oh, sorrow has clouded her perception. Deep grief and to some measure confusion brought on by their unbelief and ignorance in the circumstances makes it a difficult scene indeed. But as soon as the Lord speaks, she hears him and she knows it's him. Rabboni, which is to say, Master. In the Song of Solomon, in the chapter 2, there is that outcry from the bride in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and it's the verse 8. You'll notice in the previous verses, from verse 3 to verse 7, the bride is speaking. She addresses her companions in verse 7, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. She's speaking to them. She's speaking to her companions. She's in conversation with them. But then suddenly, the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh. Here she is talking to her companions. An illustration, I think, of that communication God's people have one with the other. We can be talking together, but in our conversations together, let us ever have an ear for the word and the voice of God. The conversation with the daughters of Jerusalem stops abruptly, suddenly, as her ear detects the voice of her beloved. So it ought to be with us. We are the sheep of Christ. It doesn't matter what we're doing or where we are, what conversation is going on, we should have an ear tuned to the voice of the Savior. The sheep obviously desired to hear the sound of the shepherd's voice. Certainly that's the case with God's people. There is a love for the Lord, a love for the shepherd. It's very true to say that the Christian, the true Christian, can't live without the sound of the Master's voice. Can't live. Let me read you the words of the Psalm 28. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me. Lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Two senses, I think, can be observed in those words. The psalmist David says, Lord, if you don't speak, if I don't hear the sound of your voice, I'm going to die. If we take the word pit as referring to the grave, or we can take it in the sense that it even refers to hell itself. Lord, if you don't speak to me, I'm no different to the ungodly. There's no difference between me and the wicked man if you don't speak. Certainly the sense is there, Lord, if you don't speak, I'm going to die. Because it's the sound of God's voice, the sound of the voice of the Savior, that the sheep of Christ loves and pines for. Do we have such an ear for God's truth? Do we have such a desire within our heart for this word by which Christ speaks to our souls? Are we living, exercising the ability that God has given to us in salvation. This is the thing. Those whom God has given this ability to, exercise it. The ability to hear is not a redundant, useless work of grace. Doctors, particularly those of the evolutionary persuasion, talk about vestigial organs, those little parts of the body that seem to be useless. They're just there. They're not really any use. Well, the ability to hear Christ is not a vestigial work of grace. It's not just something that was there for and was necessary at the beginning of our walk with God. It wasn't just implanted within our soul so that we could be saved, and well, after that it's useless. It's a faculty that is exercised continuously by the sheep of Christ. Is it not the promise of the Savior here to speak? Is that not what he's saying? My sheep hear my voice. Is that not a promise? I will speak to my sheep. My sheep will hear my voice. Is his title and name and very nature not the Word of God? How can he who is the Word not speak to his people? He cannot. It's contrary to his nature, to the one who is the expression of truth, to the one who is the very Word of God. It's contrary to his nature not to speak, and it's contrary to the nature of Christ's people not to hear. The sheep will hear. Just as surely as he speaks, the sheep must hear. He will speak, they will listen. He will communicate, they will understand. By the sound of his voice, the Lord Jesus evidently expresses his interest in his sheep. Particularly according to our text, the sheep hear his voice as an evidence of the fact that he knows them. When he speaks personally. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. I think that that little statement is made to clarify or to add something to the first phrase. My sheep hear my voice, and when they hear my voice, they will understand. I know them. I know their need. How often we have opened the Word of God and we have read a portion from it, and it's as if it never meant anything to anybody but me. It was written just for me. It was as if God took his pen and he wrote a word just as he was looking now into my heart. God sees my need and he has given me a word. The word has come as a word in season. Oh, when the Savior speaks, it will indicate he knows me. It's a marvelous thought. Because if we hear the voice of Christ, if God speaks to us, that itself is an indication, I am his. He knows me. He is my shepherd. Because the sheep of Christ, and only the sheep of Christ, hear his voice with understanding and with profit. What a blessing it is to have the Lord speak. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know them. His voice obviously indicates his nearness, his presence. Was this not a comfort for the sheep in the natural realm? We have read about the assault of the wolf upon the sheep in the verses that we read. Such was the constant threat of the sheep as they grazed upon the hillsides. But the sound of the shepherd's voice. As I was thinking of this, I was actually thinking of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And I'm sure he spoke to his sheep, but I'm sure he sung to them as well. They would have heard the sound of his voice and been reassured the Lord's there, or the shepherd's there. Is that not how we are to think? We hear his voice, the Lord is with us. We don't need to fear, because the good shepherd will face the wolf. The good shepherd has given his life in order to deliver his sheep from the wolf, even from Satan, the enemy of our souls. But there's something more in the voice of the Lord, because he indicates his will for his sheep. Verse 3, the sheep hear his voice, he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He indicates his will to them in the words that he speaks to them. For the sheep, in the natural picture, communication with the shepherd began early in the morning as he arrived to collect them from the fold and to take them up for the day to the hillsides. It was a reality all the day, and it only ceased when they were back in the fold at night. So it ought to be with us. From early morning till we go to our beds at night, we should be in communication with the shepherd, hearing his voice, being directed by him. Thy word, why, that's the lamp to my feet. The truth of God, it's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. By thy word, the psalmist said, is thy servant warned. My sheep hear my voice. They are directed and guided by me, comforted by the sound of that voice, for it indicates my presence. This is what the Savior conveys to us by this statement in the verse 27. Are you exercising that ability that God has given you? Are you listening? Listening for the shepherd's voice. Oh, may God save us from being caught up with other things. So caught up with other sounds and other noises and fascinated by this or that, that we don't hear the voice of the shepherd. But then, the sheep of Christ also demonstrate their ability to hear him in a very practical fashion. How do we know that these sheep hear the Master's voice? Verse 27, they follow me. They follow me. That's how we know. How do I know what the Word of God means something to an individual? Well, how do I know if they've heard it? If they do it. If they follow the Savior's directions given in his Word. The demonstration of having the ability to hear the Savior is following him in the path that is dictated by his Word. In the picture the Lord has before us here, the shepherd's voice directed the sheep. He walked before the sheep as well. It was the sight of him, it was the sound of his voice that guided and led them. And they were directed by his command to join him. See, when the shepherd spoke first to them when they were in the fold, they were separated from him a little bit. But as he speaks to them, they come to him and they join with him and they go on together with him. The word follow here has the very basic and simple idea of two paths coming together and one path being formed. The sheep, the shepherd coming together and going on together. That's what it means to follow the Lord. They don't follow anyone else. The sheep of Christ, look at it, they hear my voice. They follow me. They don't take another path. They take his path. And these are the marks of the sheep of Christ. Now this is a demonstration of faith. The Savior said in verse 26 and verse 27 that those these Jews that he's speaking to, ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. They didn't believe, so they didn't follow. Now in contrast, the sheep of Christ hear and follow, therefore they believe. Faith works itself out in obedience, and obedience to the commands of Christ specifically. You'll see that there is a very specific kind of faith here in view, because there is a debate now going on about the identity of the Savior. Is he the Christ? Is he the anointed of God? Is he the Redeemer? Is he the one sent by God to redeem men? This is the identity that is in dispute. But the sheep of Christ have no doubt about that. They hear His voice and they believe Him to be God's anointed Savior. You'll never get a true Christian to doubt that. Where you have somebody speculating about the deity of Christ or the mission of Christ or His ability and power to save, where you have speculation about that, you don't have a Christian. Because the sheep of Christ hear, understand, believe and follow. They commit themselves entirely to the Savior and follow Him at the direction of His Word. Now the flip side of that, the hearing of Christ and the following of Him, is that they flee from strangers. That's what it means to follow Christ. It means to flee from everything else that is an alternative to Christ. There were many other shepherds calling each one to their little flock in the fold. But those sheep that belonged to the individual shepherd, they disregarded entirely all the voices that were around them. In fact, they were counted a strange thing, and they followed the one who owned them. So we, as the sheep of Christ, are to count as a strange thing all those other voices of the world, of sin, of temptation, of the devil, of the false teacher, the false prophet, the counterfeit Christ. We're to dismiss those things as strangers. When the charismatic comes, he's a stranger. When the ecumenist comes, he's a stranger. When the priest of Rome comes, he's a stranger. Don't listen to any of those fellows. We're listening to the voice of Christ. And everything else is dismissed as a stranger. Now notice this. It's not just something that, well, it doesn't interest me. It's not my cup of tea. It's not my kind of thing. You want to do it, that's fine. But it's not for me. No, it's a strange thing. It's a stranger. And the Lord Jesus goes on to speak of those who are thieves and robbers, alluring the sheep. But those, you see, who are listening to the voice of Christ are kept from the stranger. They are preserved from the stranger. They flee from the stranger and they follow Christ. Why is it that many of God's people are allured today and led astray? Strange things. It's because they're not listening to the voice of Christ. They're not listening. They're not exercising the ability that God planted within them at conversion. If they're a real Christian, they can hear the voice of Christ, but they're not exercising that ability. And so they're led astray by strangers. They're not in communication with Christ. Because my sheep hear my voice and follow me. We know in ordinary life, particularly when a child in its early years, in the early months of its life, when it doesn't respond to noise, to sound, to oral stimuli, we know there's something wrong. We know there's no ability to hear there. And the anxious parent may well take it to the doctor, fearing the child is deaf. It's not responding to sounds the way it ought to be. Well, when God speaks through His Word, and there is one who says, oh, I'm a Christian, but there's no response to the voice of the shepherd, what do we have to say? No matter how much we wish it were different. Like that poor parent that is troubled at their very soul. They'd rather think of anything than think, my child is deaf. That's the last thing they want to think, even though in the depths of their heart it's what they fear. But that's what the reality is. Those who don't hear, don't hear because they're not the sheep of the Savior. If the Lord has been gracious to us and given us the ear to hear Him, then let us exercise it and follow Him. listening carefully for the sound of his voice, obeying carefully every word. That's the place of safety, security, comfort, happiness, provision and joy. What more could the sheep want than to be with its shepherd? That's where the very best place for that sheep to be. Under the sound of its master's voice. That's the safest place for the Christian to live a life obeying the Lord and following him, responding to the voice of his mouth. Let's bow together, please, in prayer.